Well, praise God for a wonderful morning already, and we're just excited to see God things happening in you guys' lives. Amen? Yeah. Amen. We've been talking about the promises of God, and the promises are yes and amen. And when you say amen with faith and believe in the promises of God, it's just like signing, like you're signing Jesus' name to the dotted line. God gives us these promises that have everything that we need for life and godliness. And yeah. Are you still writing? Okay. And we started talking about faith last week and just couldn't shake that. And so I wanted to press into that a little bit more. And God's got us in a season of leaning in, pressing in, believing. Amen?
Amen.
That we're just going to believe God. Amen?
Amen?
You know what's the enemy of God? Yabbits. Y-A-B-B-O-T, or something like that. Yabbits. Right? The enemy of faith is yabbits. You know what we do with yabbits? We shoot them. Wascally wabbits. So we are eliminating yabbits from our life. If you haven't caught on yet, it's yeah, but... We're going to take God at his word. And often we start out pretty good with that. And we're like, oh, God, you can do it. But they, yeah, but, right? God can save to the uttermost. He, right? He can take any life and transform it. And everyone in church said, amen. And then we talk about the person in your life. And you're like, God can save them too. And you're like, yeah, but, are you with me? We're leaning into a season, shooting yabbits. Just letting that smolder a little bit in our hearts. Because every one of you did two things simultaneously. Anyone that's paying attention, there's about a third of you that didn't even realize that I started talking yet. Because you're on your phone or whatever. When you're up here, you kind of see it all. But the rest of you that are actually listening... If you're paying attention at all, two things happen simultaneously. You laughed, and you went, oh, that's true. Because you recognize that, and you recognize the yabbits that are living in your heart. And so we want to get rid of the yabbits this morning. Yeah, but no, we're entering into a season where we're just going to start believing God.
Yes.
That what he says is true. And what he says I can have, I can have. What he says I can do, I can do. And that his promises actually are yes and amen. The promises of God are yes and amen and yeah, but. It doesn't say that. It just stops. The Bible has the audacity to stop at amen. It doesn't even worry about our yeah, but. So your yeah, but has no place in your faith walk with God. Come on, church. Your yeah, but might be factual. It's just not faithful. Yeah, but it might be based in facts. It's just not based in truth. Not saying you're lying. I'm saying there's a greater truth that supersedes it. The yeah, but is a lesser truth than ultimate truth. Jesus is ultimate truth. Well, I don't feel good. I'm sick. God heals. Yeah, but... Facts are, some movements of faith will say, you got to be careful to never say you're sick. I'm not one of the, like, I'm not on the train. God can never heal you if you're never sick. So if you're sick and you have the symptoms of being sick and you're just a persistent, I'm not sick. Well, then God can't heal you because you're not sick. What's he going to heal? And I don't criticize that. That's just not where I'm at. So if that's where you're at, that's okay. I'm with you. That's not what I teach. I teach we have a better confession. I feel sick. I feel like injured. I feel like this is in my body. But God.
But God, amen.
But God. And I start exercising my faith right? And then I leave room for God to move. So we're leaning into a season where we're going to confess the things of God over our lives. Amen? That's good stuff. We're leaning into that. We're stretching our faith. Stretching our faith. That yeah, but thing is really for you guys this month. That's not in my notes. It's not there. It's a true story. It's a true reflex of ours. It's more of a reflex. Hey, you guys ever? Great example. We've lived when Callie was born. We used to live in our basement because we thought someday we'll be moving on up. You know, and just so we were building our house. If you don't know anything about us, we built our own house over like 50 years or something like that. It took forever. It was a long time. It was really a long time. And so we lived in the basement, just unfinished walls and stuff, like just construction zone. When Callie was born, we figured out a way to move upstairs, the main floor that was finished, and then the upstairs. We call it the upstairs because we lived in the basement for so long. Upstairs was the main floor. So the upstairs doesn't matter. But we hadn't gotten cabinets done because I was going to build them. And I'm overly optimistic. And finally this year, I'm like, I'm not going to get them built. I'm going to buy some cabinets. So we bought some cabinets. We have to put them together and assemble them, put them in our kitchen. And so now we pretty much have all the new cabinets up. They're not all quite finished yet. And 96% of our kitchen is in tubs, bags, and boxes all around our living room and our home. And so you want to watch what happens at our house for the last, well, since Christmas. Oh. We go to throw something away because the garbage for 8 years since Callie was born has been right over below the window. Today or yesterday, Barney went over there. I took the coffee grounds. I went, wait, where is it? It's over here. But it's a reflex. It's a reflex. Say reflex. It's just muscle memory, right? A lot of your yabbits are not faith issues. They're muscle memory issues. You're cultivating faith, and I watch your eyes when I talk about this stuff about faith, and I know that we're on the same page. You're like, yes, he can. And then out of reflex, you're like, yeah, but, right? Let's become aware today of the wascally yabbits in our life, where we're automatically cutting off faith and defeating what God wants to do because the reflex is, yeah, but, and you've got a whole list of facts. You don't know how many times I've talked to them about Jesus. You don't know how many times I've prayed for this to be healed. Shh. Send the yabbits out to the pasture and you and Jesus work on your faith. Amen? Amen. That's a word for us today. Amen? That is a right now word. We're going to grab a hold of that. We're going to, like, God, expose the yabbits in my life. I don't want to embrace faith if my spirit and then let my mind and my soul counteract that with the authority that I get to have and say, yeah, but. Because you're walking in spiritual authority. Man, this is not on my notes. I just feel like Stephen and I were just up here just a minute ago. And we're like, I just feel this drawing of the Lord. There's still this heaviness, and I think this is what the Lord wants to tell you this morning. You've got spiritual authority. Just like we can renounce things, we get to declare things over our life. Right. And when you buckle up and start your yabbit car, right, you've got authority to drive that thing. So every time that you're camping out on your yabbits, we do it out of reflex, we do it to kind of get sympathy. You guys are all like, I hate you. Because you know it's true. Yeah, but you don't know what's really going on in my life. Like, I'm not denying that. I get, like, I've sat with a lot of, like, I get it. There's some hard stuff going on. But God. Amen. God's butt is bigger than your yeah, but. Let this stir in your heart this morning. We've been unintentionally nullifying our faith and recursing our lives and other people. That's not what we're trying to do. Oh, my word. Pastor, What are you saying? I would not do that. Yeah, you would. I've heard you. I've heard me. We do it out of reflex. Yeah, but, and we say something that is contrary to something we just believed or just prayed or want to expect in people's lives or in my life. Yeah, but, and we want to stop the yeah, buts because they're so easy and they're oftentimes factual. Yeah, but this, this, and this, but God. We're going to stop the yeah, buts and we're going to start believing God. Amen. Pastor, that's really good stuff. Thank you. It was the Lord. We're talking about faith. We're talking about faith. Luke 1:45. I was doing my devotions the other day, and we were going in this direction, but I didn't have this verse, and was just doing my devotions, and I read through this, and I'm like, hey, this needs to be in the lesson for Sunday. This was good stuff. So this is Luke 1:45. You guys know, You guys know the story of the Christmas story, Mary, you know, Immaculate Conception, right? Zachariah, Mary's, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, and her husband, Zachariah, he was serving in the temple. An angel of the Lord showed up to him and says, you're going to have a son. His name is going to be John. Zachariah is like, yeah, but he did. And the angel said, just so you don't unleash the whole pen of yabbits, we're going to make you shut up for 9 months. Read your Bibles. It's in there. I mean, not exactly like I said it, but his first response was yabbit. Angel's like, quiet. Not as a punishment, as a provision. Sometimes, hey, this is another nugget for someone. Sometimes what you see as a punishment is God's provision.
That's right.
Come on, church. You guys don't like that one. That's okay. Be growly at me all you want. Sometimes what we feel the Lord is punishing us is provision. He's keeping you from something. He's aligning you with a spot that you need to be in your life that you can't see yet. So Zechariah experienced the punishment of God, but it wasn't punishment, it was provision. Angel saw that his first response is, yeah, but. Angel said, we can't have that, or this isn't going to happen, because he doesn't know the power of his words and his confession. We're going to shush him. So he got a Holy Spirit shusher. Some days, I pray for a Holy Spirit shusher. I prayed that for years. I'm like, God, shut me up. I did. Like, I say that, like, it's out. I finally have learned that, oh, along with the Holy Spirit comes self-control. It took me a while to learn that, but not everything that pops in my head has to come out my mouth. It's a novel thought. Just saying. Just showing you my journey here this morning. So I was wished that God would just shut me up sometimes. He has now through self-control, because that's how he likes to move. But in Zechariah's case, God had to and so he didn't. And so then they end up conceiving and ended up giving birth to John. But in the middle of that, Mary went to stay with Elizabeth because she was pregnant. Elizabeth was pregnant. So went to stay in Elizabeth's home. And what happened when Mary walked in the door? You remember that story? Baby leapt. Yeah. Yeah. The baby leapt. Everybody gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is part of Elizabeth's response, this prophetic response in that moment as she got filled with the Holy Spirit. She says this to Mary, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. I had this sinister thought. This is a prophetic word. It was by the Holy Spirit. So I know this isn't true, but my natural human cynical thought is, I wonder if she's saying that because Zechariah can hear her. Because Mary did what her husband didn't. Mary just all of a sudden believed the Lord. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Zechariah. None of you wives would do that, but sometimes Bible wives, you know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's true because this is Holy Spirit prompted. So I don't think she's thinking that, but the cynical me would think, I wonder if she's giving her husband an elbow while this is going on. Mary believed the promises. Angel of the Lord talked to Mary. She just believed it. She can still speak. You guys are kind of, you're not sure if you're allowed to laugh at that. But I noticed this. Blessed. Say blessed. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Blessed are you when you believe that the Lord will fulfill. Blessed are you when you shoot those yabbits and you say, Lord, I'm just going to believe that you said this and I'm going to take you at your word. Yeah, but that yeah, but crops up and you're like, no, that's just muscle memory. We're going to get that out of here. We're going to believe the Lord. We are going to believe the Lord. You are blessed when you take the Lord at his promises. Take him at face values. What he says, he means. What he says he'll do, he'll do. What he says you can have, you can have. Yeah, but no, no yeah, buts. Blessed is she who had believed. Just simply believed. Simply. No yeah, buts. Just simply. Just believed. Just believed. Take God at his word. Okay. Yeah, but I don't know how this is going to work. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but I've got my past. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but I don't know. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but they are. It doesn't matter. Your yabbits rob you of the blessing.
That's right.
Oh, come on, church.
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to be robbed and stolen of your heavenly blessing?
No. No.
Amen, no. I like that. That's a so be it not. Right? That's a sign on the dotted line for a negative contract. No, I do not want to have my blessing stolen. If you want your blessing stolen, if you want to sign over the goodness of God in your life to some ethereal, non-existent negativity, then keep your yeah buts alive and well. Keep feeding them every day. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. But if you want a blessing, shush it and believe. Amen? Okay, that is an amen. The promises of God plus belief, faith, equals blessing. 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 Let's look at faith just a little bit. Everyone take a breath. You with me? Okay, we're going to look at Hebrews 11. That's called the faith chapter in the New Testament. Hebrews 11, faith is. Now, this is, if you hear this quoted, it's often in like a King James or a New King James. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And it's this idea that faith isn't just a feeling, it's not just an idea. We often treat faith like a concept, or we treat it like a feeling, or we treat it like faith is... Faith is just what I do when I don't know what to do. I don't know what's supposed to come next, so I'll just go, I'll walk by faith. That's not what biblical faith is. Often we don't know what to do, but that doesn't mean that's the definition of faith. Hebrews 11 is trying to define this. It's otherworldly. It's supernatural. It's a concept. Like how do you explain righteousness? How do you explain, you know, hope? How do you, like, you got an idea, but to actually really tangibly explain it, it gets difficult. So the writer of Hebrews in this first verse of chapter 11, he's saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's something real. Faith is something real. Don't raise your hands because I'm going to get some of you that are going to take the bait and answer wrongly to this. So don't answer. Just tell your neighbor, keep your hands down. Just no one raise your hands. But if I was to ask how many believe that love is a feeling, that a lot of hands would go up. Don't stop. Love involves feelings. Love is not, agape love is a choice. It's a decision to put your needs above my needs. It's a decision to love you the most when you deserve it the least. That's agape love. It's the sacrificial, self-giving love that is God love. Love is patient, love is kind. That's agape. That's what it's talking about. It's not a feeling. There are feeling loves, and there are feelings that go with it, but it is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. There's feelings that go with it, but faith is something real. And so if I was going to say, is love real? Do you think love's real, or do you think love is just fake? Well, depending on how burnt you've been in the past in relationships, you might say fake. But a lot of us would say love is real. Like, it's a real thing. The Bible even says God is love. But how do you explain love? Like, it gets kind of tricky. How do you explain? Has anyone ever been hungry? How do you explain that with a lot of words, right? It gets tricky. What's this feeling? Hebrews is trying to say, the writer's trying to say, this faith thing that we're talking about, it's real. It's legitimate. It's not just a feeling. It's not just an absence of something. It's a presence of something. It's a substance. It's a presence of a supernatural, otherworldly deposit in us that creates good. It's a thing. It's a substance. And I thought what I'd do just for a minute or two is just one of the best ways sometimes for some of these tricky words is just see how the different versions stack up. You've seen me do this 100 times already. But we're just going to look at a couple different versions of this. So in the New King James, it's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence. Faith is evidence. It's real. It's evidence of something else. Your faith in your spirit is evidence of something. Now, when you start talking about, like, Jesus experienced the same thing. When he would start talking about spiritual things, kingdom things, people would do the same thing. I'm seeing some of those looks right now. Just stay with me. We'll try to explain this. But we're talking about things of the spirit, and in our flesh mind and our bodies go, huh? So just kind of stay with me. Faith is this real evidence inside of us that's been deposited from another realm, another world, inside of us, and it's evidence of things that are somewhere else. It's evidence of things not seen, things hoped for. It says in the ESV, English Standard Version, it said, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it's the conviction. A conviction's not a feeling. What often makes a conviction is it often goes opposite of what we're feeling. I have a conviction that I need to lose a few pounds. This is a true story. So I've been dieting. My feelings have been telling me everything opposite of my conviction. I set my conviction temporarily aside on Friday night for the marriage thing and ate more than I should have. But my conviction is, I'm convinced and convicted. I have a conviction that I would be healthier and happier if I was a little lighter on the physical side. And so, but my feelings are all telling me, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Just eat it. You'll like it. You liked it before. You'll like it even more this time. Which is all, that's truth. That is true. But my conviction is saying, I'm standing strong in this. Faith often goes opposite of our feelings, but it's this conviction of God things. It's this evidence. It's this assurance. It's this solid belief. And it's more than just believing. It's this knowing. What else? NIV says, now faith is a confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. And I love this one. This is the CSB. It says that faith is the reality. Faith is the reality of what's hoped for, and it's the proof of what is not seen. It is the proof of what is not seen. We could go through all kinds of illustrations on what faith is, but we'll just skip it. But it's this solidity and this tangible something that's inside of us, that's planted there by the Lord himself, that's of another realm, and it's meant for a gateway in this realm to produce things. It's a something real. It's not just a hope, and it's not just a feeling, and it's not just something I do, well, I don't know what the Lord's going to do, so I'm just walking by faith. Now, if you say that, and if you've even said that today, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying as a definition of faith, because I've said that. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing to say. But if we're defining faith like that, that is a woefully short and biblically inaccurate definition of faith. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, so I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to walk in the reality and confidence that the Lord does know what he's doing, and he's leading me. And he said, you see what I mean? There's a difference there. It's not just a blind wandering because I don't know what else. It's not that at all. It's a confidence. It's a deposit. Like when we went to go see Taylor Russell out in Rapid City, we got these tickets. I didn't have my seat yet. Hello? But it was reality. I didn't have to guess if someone's going to be in my seat. I didn't have to guess if the building was actually going to be there. It was on confidence of the organization that sold me the ticket and the venue that was producing it. I knew I'd have a seat. I had this ticket in my hand. It was not the thing, but it was the thing that produced the thing. Hey, come on now. We're using worldly examples. They don't always transfer one-to-one. I get it. Well, you don't know if... Yeah, you're right. Whatever. But it's as close as I can get, right? I've got this ticket. It says I've got seat 3B in row 17 or whatever. I don't know. But I've got this ticket. And it's the deposit of the reality of the thing. Your faith is that supernatural, otherworldly deposit in you of the thing. The reality of what's hoped for. That ticket that I'm holding in my hand is a reality of that thing. Now, I haven't got all of it yet, but my faith, the ticket gets me that thing. Yes. My faith gets me that thing. Mm-hmm. My faith is not the thing, but my faith gets me that thing.
Right.
You're saved by faith. By grace through faith, right? It's the vehicle. Now I obtain my salvation. It's my ticket. It says it. It's stamped on there. It's printed. It's reality. The reality of it. So faith is the reality of that. That's what faith is according to these different versions. It's the substance of these things. Evidence. It's assurance. It's conviction. It's confidence. It's reality. It's proof. It's proof. The very next verse, Hebrews 11, verse 3, says this. By faith we understand. So this whole chapter is filled with all these by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Say by faith.
By faith.
By faith. So this whole chapter is filled with these by faith. By faith, through faith. Because you're holding the ticket in your hand, you got to do this. Or the ancients did this. Or the prophets did this. Or this person did this. By faith we, now this is us, by faith, we have this ticket. We understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from the things that are not visible. By faith, here's this verse. We understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen... Everybody look around you. Look at something that's seen. Justin is seen. That chair is seen. Randy is seen. Back there, clock is seen. The wall is seen, right? The stuff that is seen. The stuff that I can see. The stuff that was made. This was created from things that are not visible. Interesting. So the things that are visible, the things that we can see, taste, touch, and smell, were created from another realm. And by faith, we understand that. Faith gives us access to that reality, that through the word of God, this realm came into existence from the other realm. This realm came into existence from the other realm, from things that are not seen. Now, hold on a second. This is verse 3. Are you with me? Verse 3. Okay, I'll go back here. There, that's it. It's in its normal form before I've made bullet points and stuff, okay? That's verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. This is back in verse 1. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the conviction of things not seen. It's the assurance about what we do not see. It's the proof of what's not seen. What is not seen is the true reality. Come on, church. That's the legitimate source of everything that we need, is in the realm of the unseen. We're not trying to be mystical or weird here, but the Father of unchanging lights, our invisible God. I forget where that's at in the New Testament, but this invisible realm, this realm of the kingdom of God, this authority and movement of the power of God, that exists. It has always existed. We exist to receive from that realm, and that happens by faith, and it's this invisible. So verse 1 talks about evidence of things not seen. Faith takes something from the unseen realm and produces it in the seen realm. You guys are just really mulling this over. If you need healing today, it's present in the unseen realm. My faith is going to take that and manifest it because it's evidence of what's there. And we're going to see it. My faith is proof of that. And we're going to pray and you're going to be healed. If you need joy today, if you need life, if you need eternal life, faith is the evidence of those unseen things and they become seen in our realm because that's the realm that we live in. But heaven invades this realm. The kingdom of God invades this realm. That's what Jesus came for. Go look up a study of the kingdom of God. There's more written in the Bible about the kingdom of God than almost any other subject in the New Testament. And this, his kingdom is invading this kingdom. And we're walking by an invisible kingdom, and our faith is making that kingdom manifest. That's a lot of hard words to kind of wrap our heads around these concepts. That's why I felt like we needed another couple lessons on this. But it's the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of things not seen, the assurance about what we did not see. Let's go back to verse 3 again. It's what is seen was made from the things that are not visible. Back to the verse 1 again. All of this, it wasn't seen. But our faith is the evidence of those things not seen. Our faith, let's back up. This whole world was made from the things that are not visible. And our faith is the evidence of those invisible things that are in another realm. Our faith is from another realm. It's planted into us. Now we use that faith as a keyway, as a doorway to bring access to those things of God into our lives today. The very least of which is salvation. Faith comes by, or salvation is by faith, you know. That's how we're saved. It's through faith in Christ. But we don't always see those things. But it's our job to use our faith and manifest them in this realm, right? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by... We're not walking in this... What we're being led by is not the things we see. That's what it's saying. We're producing seen things from an unseen place. We are producing love for one another and for God from a realm where love is predominant. We're producing servanthood from a realm that's led by a servant king. We're producing authority over addictions and junk in our life by faith, from a realm where there is no addiction and the only authority is Jesus. Are you with me? You getting it? We're producing in this world, in this life, seeing things that come from another realm. So we are led by this faith that takes its orders from another realm and gets its fuel and its resources from another realm. Now it becomes seen, but we don't take our cues from the scene. We don't walk up to someone and say, you're really unlovable. Can't happen. No, we don't take our cue from that. We take our cue from that realm, from faith. We've got this evidence that the Holy Spirit in me is wanting to love unconditionally. I don't take my cue from the sight. We're used to taking our cues from the sight side. We walk by sight and try to live by faith. Come on, church. We walk by sight and look at faith. Walk by sight, ain't got no more faith. Because I can tell you in the church what's going on. I can tell you in the world what's going on. Because I'm really good at this seeing thing. I do it almost every day. That's what's so hard, because we see every day. Every day. But God gives us new sight. And we see into spiritual things. Now our faith is this nugget. It's that ticket. It's that evidence of things that really exist in that realm. But they need to make it. They need to migrate to this realm. And our faith is what does that. I'm pushing hard and heavy today. We're stretching, like we're opening up your heart. You're like, no, 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 that's enough of that. Okay, no, it's not enough. We're going for this. We're challenging you guys to think about this. Let me go back to this verse 3 again. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things. Actual, literal, tangible, real things that exist in another realm. And they were made visible in this realm. And that is the truth of every one of God's principles. All of God's word. We walk by faith. Everything that we need is in another realm. The only way you can get it is with a ticket. We call that ticket faith. It's that deposit, that substance of the reality of other things, things that we need in this world. God, I need this. He's like, I've given you faith. Yeah, but God, I need it. Use your ticket. Go cash it in. Come on, use the ticket. Agree with the promises of God. Sign the dotted line. Sign Jesus' name. Faith brings the truth and the reality of the invisible realm into existence in this one. Jesus said that's how you should pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let the kingdom of God come here. Let it be manifest here. See, your healing already exists in heaven. Faith brings it to earth. Provision already exists in heaven. Faith brings it to earth. Hope already exists in heaven. Faith pulls it into this realm. Oh, I don't feel hopeful. Shut it up. Come on. Kill those yeah buts and grab your faith and pull the hope of God into my soul. Joy, it already exists in heaven. Faith brings it into earth. Eternal life, peace, love, wisdom, whatever it is that you need, your faith brings that. And it's not just, I think this can be true. It's no, I trust God. You said it. You said I can have it. It's yes. I'm signing amen. Jesus, you agreed to hold yourself to your word. And now my faith is welling up in me. And I'm going to believe that. I'm going to take you at your word, God. See, it says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I no longer live, but just with my physical eyes. But Christ lives in me. Ooh, I've got the power of Jesus in me now. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not enough for you? Hebrews 10. And by my righteous one, but my righteous one will live by faith. By faith. By faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But here's a note. We don't belong to those who shrink back. God's like, I don't take pleasure in those who shrink back and walk away from me. God says, hey, or through the writer of Hebrews said, guess what? We don't belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Because our salvation exists in another realm. And our faith in God. God, you said you're going to save me. You said if I would come to you, Lord, you'd wipe away my sins. God, you said your blood was enough to cover all of my sins. I'm taking this ticket. I'm cashing it in. God, you said you'd do it. And you get born again. Your spirit becomes alive. And God does it. You take the salvation that's in another realm, and your faith brings it to this realm. You get to see it in your life today. Woo! I'm getting saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, what about this? What if you're one of those people that just don't have faith? Too bad for you. That's not the right answer. You do. You do have faith. You know how I know it? God told me. This morning, God told me that you have faith. Yep, he gave me a word. He said in Romans, that was his word. 12:3, he said, for by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly. As God has distributed a measure of faith to a few people that are really lucky. God has given a measure of faith to those who go to church all the time. God has distributed a measure of faith to those with certain last names. God's given faith to those who listen to a certain radio station. Nope. God's given and distributed a measure of faith to each one. Newsflash! You have faith. Cool, I didn't know I had any of that. You do. You do. I want you to just sit there, and I want you to smile as big as you can. Take a deep breath and go, I have faith. You have faith. Everything that we've been talking about, some of you have been checked out. You're like, that's not for me. No, I'm not one of those big faith guys. No, I'm, you know what? Maybe some of those other wives are like that. I'm not one of those big faith wives. I wish I could be, but I'm not. Nope, I don't have no faith. Wrong. You do. According to the Word of God, He's given you a measure of faith to each one. That's that ticket. That's that ownership of something that exists in another realm. It's that confidence in God, in God. Our confidence is in Him. Our faith is in Him. Our confidence is in Him. It's not in our ability to try to believe it. Our faith is in Him, His character, His nature. He said He would do it. He's going to do it. Yeah, but come on. Everyone's got it. You all made it all the way through it. I said, yeah, but you're like, hey, well, wait, no, no, not yeah, buts. No, we don't want those. Because we got a sack full of yeah, buts. He's given a measure of faith to each one. Last slide. Kynan Bridges, we'll probably have some more quotes of his later on in life, but he says this, by faith, the promises of God are manifested in our lives. This is not a hit or miss gimmick or some religious formula. This is the spiritual key that God has given to His church to unlock the fullness of His word in our lives every day. You've been given a measure of faith to use, and you can unlock the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You can grab a hold of what's in that realm as God has given you thousands of His promises in His word, through His word. You can believe Him. You can take Him at His word. God said it. I believe it. Yeah, but nope. Kill the yabbits. So I'm giving you open season for hunting yabbits. We want to see them no more. We want to see no more yabbits in church. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I just thank You for Your beautiful presence this morning. I thank You for the work that You did in lives. I thank You, God, for that you're instilling, and I just heard the word distilling. You're distilling our faith. You're refining it. You're removing impurities. God, You're making it more potent. I just declare that word over this church this morning, that you're distilling our faith, making it more potent, making it more pure, making us have hearts of faith that is not going to say, yeah, but we are going to enjoy You and rejoice in You and believe You and trust in You and use our ticket, use the faith of God to grab a hold of what's in Your kingdom and bring it into this realm, God. Not what is seen, but what's unseen becomes manifest as we use our faith. We just pray that over this week. I pray that everybody in this church has a great faith week, that we start walking this out and seeing miracles happen in everyday life. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.